Welcome again, everybody. Welcome online community. Glad you guys are here. Hey, how's my friends in the lobby? How are you guys doing in the lobby? All right. It was a little half-hearted. How many of you in the lobby with a vocal, were people who were in the lobby on Easter last week? Okay. We got the sofas. Ben Kearns, if anybody in the lobby wants to sit on the sofa right now, they can just make their way up in the middle of the sermon. It's not a big deal. Would love to have you. Why are we doing all this? Why are we together one gathering? Why are we having jumpy houses and great food? Why are we celebrating? Because we want to make the point that Easter wasn't the end of a season, but it's just the beginning. And so we're going to do a series called Easter Plus. We just love this idea that we're going to move forward as Ben and Shelley were laughing and talking. They did such a good job that we're going to move forward living out the life of Christ. You know, Ben Kern's sermon last week on Easter is one of the best sermons I have ever heard. Did you not think it was amazing? Because he articulated a little smattering of applause for Ben. Yeah. That's all they had for you, bro. Yeah, there you go. But what I loved was that, and the way we finished in his brilliance to say, oh, this analogy that there's at the wedding feast, you know, you prepare for it and it's so amazing. And then you have the vows and it's all touching. And then you go to have the party. But what happens is at the end, you toast. And that's why we toasted at Easter. And by the way, if anybody wants some cider, we got about 14 cases left over. So grab a bottle after church or in the kitchen. That you toast to life and life together, because the wedding isn't the end, right? It's the beginning of something. Linda and I experienced our 38th wedding anniversary on Friday. So, I know. Look at the children on the screen. And we have water, which is just super 1986 Christian youth group dynamic, was water. You know, nothing before the wedding, really, you guys, in some sense, was of consequence. It was deep and significant and even painful and hard, and we worked some stuff out. But that wasn't the point. Then when we got to the wedding was rich, and it was amazing. Linda wrote a song for me that was this worship song that said, through it all, God will have the victory in this. God will be glorified in this. Through it all. The all is about me and all my problems before our wedding. But anyway, but it also was a prophetic word into the future. Through it all, God will be our God and will be good to us. And it was this sweet wedding ceremony. I prayed for Linda the morning before we got before the ceremony, that prayed over her that she would, maybe it was the day before, I can't remember if we even saw each other that morning, but I prayed for her that she wouldn't cry. That was her big prayer, that she wouldn't cry. And then I cried from start to finish through the entire, and she didn't cry at all. It was amazing. Our mentor and our youth pastor married us. All our friends were along. So it was amazing, right? And then we go off to the party, and we have this incredible party. The party was so fun. Our party was so fun. And we have the video of our party. What was so fun about our party was I was a youth pastor at the time, and we invited all the youth group kids. So we had like 50 high school kids at our wedding and an open bar. Who knew that wasn't going to go well? And so the video is really funny for all the reasons you can imagine. So, but you guys, what happened before the wedding was really significant, but not really of all that much consequence. What happened during the wedding was significant, but the real key was at the end, we toasted to life together, and then we drove away and spent the rest of our lives in relationship. That's the beauty of this idea. That's the power of this. And when we were on Friday at a restaurant in Kenwood, we were up in the valley, and we were sharing and we were talking about the life that God has given us. We weren't reminiscing about how great the party was. We were reminiscing about the fact that God has been in it every day, and that we've woken up every morning and we've been together for 38 years. And we wept at the beauty of that. Can you imagine that? Me and Linda weeping. We wept at the beauty of that thing. And the waiter came over. He's like, is everything all right? And he walked away, and I had to go, dude, we're just having a moment. Because the beauty is not in the ceremony. The beauty is not what happened before that. The beauty is in doing life together, and that's what Easter Plus is. You see, last week was Easter Sunday, and rightly so, it is the summit of the Christian year, right? It's where we're overwhelmed with God's victory and his mercy and his love, and we proclaim Christ crucified and dead and buried and resurrected so that life comes. I mean, that is it. We're like, Easter! It's amazing. That's so good. But Easter was only the beginning. Somebody say with me, Easter was only the beginning. And so we're not going to live like, oh, that was an incredible Lent, was somber and hard and giving up and in touch with my sin and all my longings and all my brokenness and my not yets and waiting for God to come. And then Easter comes and then we're all like, okay, good, that's over. No, we're going to live into Easter as we go forward, because that burst of praise, that joy of the resurrection of Easter, that now, listen, church, that now permeates our very existence. That's the beauty of the whole thing. It's our whole life is about this continuing life of union with Christ. We are now Easter people. We're Easter people, and that's how we live. So the church has actually had the tradition of having these rhythms in the life of the church, right? We've said this before, and we're highlighting it for those of you like me who didn't grow up in the church and don't know anything about Easter rhythms. But, you know, we talk about Advent. We're like, oh, that's a rhythm. We spend 4 weeks thinking about the coming of Christ during the Christmas season, right? And then in Lent, we started practicing Lent. We're like, oh, we're going to spend 6 weeks lamenting our brokenness, lamenting sin in the world, thanking God that one day he's going to come. And then the church has actually done this, and we've never done it in our church as long as I've been here, which is 100 years. And that is that we've never experienced the Eastertide or the Easter season of the church, where we actually live in this resurrection. We live in the good news that life has come and we're going to celebrate it. So that's why we're doing what we're doing. And that's why we're gathering for this one special Sunday. And while there'll be a sense of joy and celebration around the good news and good hard scriptural teaching about being God's people, right? What kind of life does this life call us to? But it'll be joy and celebration around the resurrection life of coming up in the next 6 weeks. We're actually going to be, the whole Easter season is another, it's 50 days. It's another 7 weeks until the day of Pentecost that will come. And so that's where we're headed. Why all the joy? Why all the celebration? Because of this. You saw this. Ben led us off with this last week in Easter. The resurrection of Jesus was the inauguration of God's bursting into our present with his future reality. The kingdom of God that we long for it to be, the restoration of all things, heaven, if you will, when heaven and earth come together in new creation, the resurrection marks the time where the bursting in of that future is present in our very reality, and we will live those lives. That's why we're joyful and we're celebrating. So we want to talk about what that really means. So here, I'm going to blaze through some scriptures. I hope you're a note taker so that you can write these down. Those of you guys on YouTube live, you'll see it in the notes. But here's some stuff. What really happened? Two questions this morning. What really happened as a result of the resurrection of Jesus? And the next question is going to be, and so how do we live that out? What really happened in the resurrection of Jesus? Let's look at those things. First, what happened? Jesus defeated sin and death. Jesus defeated sin and death, and he defeated evil and its power over us. This is what's so amazing. Look at this scripture in Colossians 2, and I double dog dare you to go and study it some more. Study it with your Bibles at home. Did I say Ephesians? Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. Look at this verse. Remember the point now. What happened at the resurrection? Jesus defeated sin and death. That's what he did when he rose from the dead. Colossians 2, when you were dead in your sins, dead means separated from God. When you were separated from God, you were living in your sin was having its full impact on you. There was no forgiveness. And so what the wages of sin, scripture says, is what? Anybody know? Death, that means spiritual death. That means a separation from God. So when we were dead in our sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, some of you are new and you're like, what? Circumcision is a mark of ownership of God. That's what the Israelites were, right? They had they were circumcised as a mark of ownership, at least the men on behalf of the whole community, mark of ownership that they were God's people. What did we study a couple of weeks ago? What is now the mark of ownership that we're God's people? Anybody know? The Holy Spirit. And so, when we were dead, separated from God, and we were still not yet full of the Holy Spirit, so we were just flesh people, not spiritual people, when those things were true, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Oh, these are good words. Don't miss this. He canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. He paid for what was owed. He paid the price. What was owed was separation from God because our sin made us unholy, not be able to be in a relationship with a holy God. And he covered that debt for us. It stood against us. Look at the second half of verse 14. It condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. He defeated sin and death, separation from God. And then look at the last verse. I love this verse. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, that's the evil ones. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them at the cross. I wish there was a polite way to say what he did to sin and death. Like he, I can't say it. Look at the minds in the lobby. They're like, get your mind out of the gutter, lobby. He said to sin and death and the enemy, no way, I have the victory. And that's what happened by resurrection. So what happened in the resurrection? That he defeated sin and death. The bottom line is we were once separated from God, but he has made us alive with Christ. That is possible because of his resurrection, that death and sin would no longer, and evil would no longer have its way. That's what happened, number one. Number two, what happened at the resurrection? The new creation has begun. The new creation has begun. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you may know this verse, but it means more than just what happens to us individually, but it's talking about a whole, new creation is all in the scriptures. But look at this verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation is come. When we say yes to Jesus, when we accept what happened at his death and his resurrection, the new creation has begun. The old has gone and the new is here. There is a new creation. This is why we use this slide that you'll see over and over and over again in this series. The resurrection of Jesus was the inauguration of God's bursting into our present with his future reality. His future reality will be complete fellowship and connection to him in the kingdom of God, right? As we say heaven. When I always say as we say heaven, because the old heavens and the old earth will come together to be the new heavens and new earth together. In the book of Revelation, it says that the new Jerusalem, the city of God, where God dwells, will come down to earth and a new creation will be made. So you know that this is going to be, when we talk about heaven on earth, that's what this is going to be. Our creation will be a new creation, and heaven and earth come together, and that's what we've always thought of as heaven, where we're sitting on a cloud playing a harp and bored out of our minds. No, it's going to be everything we love and everything we were made to do, fully restored and full of glory. You in your glorified body, like Jesus' glorified body, you in the fullness of who you were made to be, experiencing all the fullness of the presence of God in a world that is completely restored with no sin, no death, no evil, no brokenness, no pollution. Come on now. So the new creation has begun at the resurrection. That's the beauty of this. The new creation has begun. That's why we're celebrating. That's why we got breakfast tacos, church. Because it's begun. That's what Easter means. It's begun. So we don't live Lenten lives. We don't live the, oh, not yet. Oh, poor me. Oh, this is the worst. Oh, the world's broken. We actually live in, oh, the new creation has burst into our present and resurrection life. And the mark of ownership of the Holy Spirit allows us to tap into heaven on earth. There ought to be joy even in the midst of sorrow and pain and brokenness because of the new creation has begun. I forgot what I was gonna say about that, something more. That's it. I got plenty, that's plenty. Listen, the Bible, this is great. I read this, I stole this from somebody this week. I don't remember who, so I can't credit them. The Bible talks about creation and new creation. This is a summary of the Bible's message. Creation and new creation covenant with God and the new covenant through Christ. Is that good? And we're now in new creation and new covenant, as we're going to say again when we come to the table of the Lord. This is the new covenant in his blood. So resurrection inaugurated that new creation, and we're living in it. This is why, you know, it's really hard to kind of proof text this, be like, here's a verse that says it. Here's, like, there's just this covering of verses. I was thinking about Romans chapter 5, where it compares Jesus as the new Adam. And it said that just as sin came into the world, I don't have the verse on the screen, but just as sin came into the world through the one man and death through sin, that's the picture of Adam, like, oh, in the flesh, we're dead. Just as sin came into the world and death through by the death of the sin of the one man and death through sin, so also life came into the world through the one man, Jesus Christ. He's like the new Adam. And it goes on to talk about, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, death came, so also through the obedience of the one man, life has been given to all of us who want it. That's Romans 5 if you want to go study that text. That's amazing. So what has happened? We're saying what's happened in this through the resurrection. Jesus defeated sin and death, and the new creation has begun. And what else happened last? I want to just comment on this. So many things happened, but I picked three because it's kind of a spiritual number and what sermons always look like. What happened, number three, is that we too may live a new life. This has been embedded in everything that I've said so far. We too may live a new life. As we talked about, Jesus was raised as the first, but will one day we will be raised too. And we sing that song, and the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but it's as a foretaste of he's the first one to be resurrected, and we will be bodily resurrected, and that new creation has already begun from the inside out. So the same power that conquered the grave lives in us, again, by his Holy Spirit, as we remember. But that language that I use there, we too may live a new life, is right out of Romans chapter 6. Look at this verse in Romans 6, 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Okay, oh, so many religious words. Do you do Bible study every day? I hope you do Bible study every day, because I'm so compelled to want to do Bible study for like 6 hours with you, but I just got to trust you're doing it all week. You doing it all? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. In other words, when we have come to faith in Christ, which is symbolized by baptism. Hey, have you come to faith and you haven't been baptized? It is a marker in your spiritual journey. Let's talk about it. We'd love to have you baptized. But we were therefore buried with him when we came to Christ. And our baptism was a marker that we went into the water. The old life was dead, right? So we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Look at the theology. Just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, what's the next two words? We too may live a new life. So what happened in the resurrection? We too may live a new life. Gosh, I don't think I can stop reading in Romans chapter 6 at verse 4. I just want you to hear it. Romans 6. I'll read it before again, and then we'll go forward. Listen to this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. What's the next two words? We too may live a new life. Listen, listen to this. For if we have been united with him in his death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Come on. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. Yes. Isn't that good stuff? Yes. Let's memorize Romans 6. Who's in? I'll give you $100. Cash money if you memorize the entire book. Okay. Or the entire chapter. Okay. That's what has happened through the resurrection. He's defeated sin and death. The new creation has begun, and so we too live a new life. All right, so let me just wrap this up, and I want you to ask one other question. So what now then? How shall we live? How shall we live? I know we're going to live in celebration and joy, and that's what we're modeling here. We're going to live in celebration and joy. Why? Number one, we live into God's promised future. We live into God's promised future. Again, heaven is coming on earth, and earth and heaven are merging together where the presence of God will be with his people in all perfection, and it has burst into our present now. And so when you're sitting with one another, I was with a group a couple of months ago, and one person just said, this thing, this life we're living in Christ together, it's like a slice of heaven on earth. And I'm like, it's exactly what it is. Not figuratively, but literally, the new creation has begun. And so we're going to live into this God's promised future. We're going to live like people who have the presence of God. We're going to live like people whose resurrection power is within us. We're going to live like people who have life at its fullest because God's Spirit dwells within us. And we're going to live into wanting everything about that kingdom to come into our reality now. We're going to want to live out what the kingdom looks like now. This is what the Lord's Prayer is all about. You think we do the Lord's Prayer because it's some ritual? We do the Lord's Prayer because it says this. Jesus said, oh, this is how you want to know how you should pray? This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? Your kingdom come. This is our longing. On earth as it is in heaven. Now it's burst forth. So come and do your work, God. I'm going to paraphrase Art Greco, our retired former pastor. He always said some version of this. Let me get it right. Well, I'm already paraphrasing it, so I got it wrong. What will be, should be, to the extent that it can be. In other words, what we can be in the future, to the extent that we can make it happen, we need to live it out now. We're going to live into the future selves because the future is now. God's eternity has burst into our present. Okay, so what do we do now? How do we live? One, we live into God's promised future. Two, how do we live? Holy. We live holy. You see, just because we've been given grace and forgiveness, we don't go, great, no rules, no plan, no problem. In fact, that Romans 6 passage, $100 if you memorize Romans 6. The first verse of Romans 6 says, what should we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? I mean, we're so forgiven. Should we just keep living in sin then? It says, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? You see, you may have heard one of us as pastors say, it matters how we live. And I want to continue to demythalize what, you know, mystify this word holiness, you guys, because holiness is the real you living out how life is supposed to be. Holiness, ready? Holiness is like the currency of the coming kingdom. Holiness is the lifestyle of the new creation. Here's some scriptural affirmation around it, Ephesians chapter 4. You have to go back and study the context. I was going to read it, but I'm out of time. So, but verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life. Remember your former way of life? Former way of life without God, sin, still in your sin, separated from him. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off that old self, which has been corrupted by its flesh, by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the, in other words, to live by a new truth. That new creation has begun, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Michael next week is going to preach, Pastor Michael is going to preach a little bit more about putting on the new self. But I just want to make this comment, you guys, that holiness is the real you that he has had in mind from the very beginning. It's the way you were intended to live. It isn't just this morality. This is what holiness is not. This is what holiness is not. Holiness is not living as weird people in the world while we cohabitate with all these other people in the world who live differently. That's not what holiness is. Holiness is not you being just so different than weird than everybody else. But what holiness is because the resurrection was the inauguration of a new creation. It was the inauguration of a new way of life. And so Christian living, the way the scriptures teach us to live, Christian ethics, the way that we should see the world and live in it, or holiness, is simply the lifestyle that celebrates and embodies the new creation. The way God has taught us to live is a way that celebrates and embodies the new creation, the you were meant to be. And if you get stuck on morality, then you're missing the point. The only reason why there are Christian ethics or Christian morals is because you were designed to live in a heaven on earth way. And anyone who in this room knows what I'm talking about, you have the testimony of having walked God's way and gotten taken off your old self and put on your new self, and you've seen blessing and depth and richness. And it's not always been hard, easy, but it's been life. See, his life has broken in, and that's how we live. So how do we live in light of this, all these great things? We live into God's future, promised future, and we live holy. And then last, we raise the spiritual temperature of every room we walk into. You're like, what is that? That's weird. That's weird. It's going to be weird. Really? No. We raise the spiritual temperature by joy and celebration of the life that has been given us, by the lifestyle of holiness. And ready for this? The language of love, which is the language of the new creation. Because everywhere a holy and loving person walks in, the spiritual temperature gets raised and life comes into that room. You guys, you're a gift to your families. You're a gift to your community. You're a gift to the world. This isn't about be the weirdos who are different than everybody else and who are holier than thou. This is about you living in the new kingdom, embodying holiness and speaking the language of love, and everyone around you thrives because life comes from us as new life people. I love all that. So everywhere we go, everything we do, every word we say, we bring the kingdom by the lifestyle of holiness and the language of love. Hey, band, why don't you guys come out? I'm going to move to the table here. Easter's crazy talk. It's crazy talk that Jesus is risen. But Easter, friends, is only the beginning. Thank you, Diane. Special delivery. Easter's only the beginning. The resurrection of Jesus was the inauguration of God's bursting into our present with his future reality. And so now we're Easter people, and we get to live that out in every room we walk into, bringing life. Friends, I hope that's an inspiring view of what it looks like to be kingdom people, that you walk into a room and you go, what's God doing in this room? I'm going to bring life by my very presence, because heaven has broken in, and I bring a slice of heaven on earth everywhere I go. So the words, my encouragement to you, the encouragement as we come to the table is the same. It's the conclusion of my sermon. It's the takeaway from my sermon. When we come to the table, we come to meet him here. You ever heard that language? You see, Christ is present by his Holy Spirit in us. That's why we're life-bringing people. We've been able to start living a new life, so we actually are present with Jesus everywhere. We come to the table, we remember the new covenant in his blood, as I say the words of institution, as they call them. In a moment, you hear that language again. We're new covenant people, that God has burst into the present with his future reality. We've actually experienced the new restored relationship with God that can only come through Christ. And we proclaim that good news until he comes. Every single day is a day lived out of all this is going to come in its fullness later, but I'm Easter people now, even today. And the last thought is, and we get to do it together. What joy there is in that reality. Hear all of that language of what happened at the resurrection and how then we should live in the words of institution. For on the night in which he was betrayed, he gathered with his friends for a meal, and when he took bread, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup, listen now, church, this cup, it's the new covenant in my blood. It represents a new covenant, which is forgiveness and grace. Do this when you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and you drink the cup, you're remembering, you're proclaiming, you're rehearsing the truth. Jesus said that I died. And as he goes on then to communicate in the rest of the New Testament, and I have been raised so that you might have new life. Let's proclaim that truth as we come to the table. So church, as we worship, may God bless you as you rehearse the truth of new life in Christ. Our table is open for those of you that have said yes to Jesus. In fact, if you're like, I think that today I'm ready to say yes to Jesus, you come to the table and you say, Jesus, I want your life. And then tell somebody afterward today. There's tables here in the front, in the back. You guys in the lobby, the doors are open to come into those tables in the back. And come and meet the Lord here and celebrate the life that he has given because of his resurrection. Amen and amen. Let's stand. Come anytime during this song when you're ready to take the elements.